Welcome to Tapes and Scales.
Yeah.
Hello, Max.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Looking well.
Sure.
You sexy fucking beast.
You're creeping me out.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is one of those instances where they lose out because I can't see your face.
To do a yeah like that, you got to really snarl.
He really, really was creeping me out.
Yeah, you know. I can turn it on and off those bedroom eyes like it ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying? Yuck,
hungry
yuck.
Hungry eyes.
Nope, I got nothing. Max, why don't you start?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever been so sick that when you throw up, yeah, there's nothing left to throw up, so you just dry heave and there's some, like, fucked up bile that comes out of your mouth?
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe 1955's Revenge of the Creature.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is the sequel, the direct sequel to The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I watched it this year, certainly, after us, so maybe it was March, maybe it was April. Who the hell knows? It is 1 hour and 22 minutes, and it is actually classified as a horror movie on Google, so I assume they don't want you to actually watch it.
Wow.
So it's like one of the first ones that they labeled as a horror movie. It was directed by Jack Arnold, who directed the first one, which is a fucking nightmare factory, that he had to do this fucking pile of poop. This one stars Laurie Nelson, John Agar, and John Bromfield. The story, the description, is the Gill Man is captured and studied in Florida in an aquarium. And the movie does not have much more than that going on.
Oh,
it is shitty. They do
how
not,
long did you say this was?
1 hour and 22 minutes of fucking pain.
Oh, no.
Like, it's like dry heaving for 1 hour and 22 minutes. It's not good. It's absolutely one of the worst sequels that has come out. Like, I'd rather watch fucking Lon Chaney Jr. shit himself to death in Son of Dracula than watch Revenge of the Creature again.
But why not Gillman?
I love the Gillman. One of my favorite creatures from a design perspective, one of the greatest makeups of all time. And this movie has the redeeming quality is there's some cool underwater shit they did in this movie, which was really revolutionary for the time.
Right.
This movie has zero else going on. They use a cattle prod underwater on this thing.
Oh, no.
While they're in the water.
Oh, no.
This movie is shit.
Oh, no.
It's so, like, it's really bad.
Oh, no.
And it's, like, it's just, it's frustrating because it comes out after Creature from the Black Lagoon, which is a fine film. Mm-hmm. They just have, in these two movies, they clearly show we have no fucking clue how to use Creature as a, the Gill Man as a character. We have no idea if he's sympathetic like Frankenstein. We have no idea if he's ferocious. We don't actually know anything about the Gill Man other than he looks cool and he's under the water.
It took us 50 years to figure it out.
Yeah, until Shape of Water, right? Yeah. This is garbage, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
IMDb score, 5.6, which I think is fucking generous as shit. Rotten Tomatoes critical score, 9 critics, giving it a combined 22%.
All right.
Audience score, 31%. I gave it a 3 out of 10, because it is certainly, like I said, cool underwater shots, and it's in focus.
Oh, man, that's not good when that even has to be brought up.
Yep.
Well, I got a movie that's a little better than that.
Please.
It's not amazing, though.
Is it footage of you dry heaving? Because that'd be better, honestly. If it's in focus, I'd give it a higher score.
If you want, well, I can't do the camera and do the dry heaving. So
I mean, you just put it up on a tripod and go for it.
Look at you teaching me all the mastery of film.
Yeah, right?
Tripod.
Tripod,
best director I ever worked for.
You don't need a human being when you have a tripod. This is why I'm sad and alone.
Oh.
Not now, I'm with you.
Oh. This is 2018's Christopher Robin.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much you love Winnie the Pooh or not. It's definitely part of my childhood.
Yeah, I think it's impossible not to be.
I watched this on April 18th.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1 hour 44 minutes. Adventure, comedy, drama.
Okay.
One of those things is not accurate. It's the comedy part.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. It's directed by Mark Forrester, starring Ewan McGregor, Hayley Atwell, and Bronte Carmichael.
Okay.
So Winnie the Pooh is always like a thinky kind of story as it is, the books, the cartoons, everything. It's like slice of life, but like you're gonna learn a lesson.
Yep.
You're gonna feel good at the end of it, ultimately.
Yeah,
like, Pooh, you dummy. Why are you being a dummy? Oh, you don't know no better. Here come your friends to help you along.
Life lesson.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yep. Wholesome.
This is so much, it's just such a departure.
Okay.
A working-class family man, Christopher Robin, encounters his childhood friend, Winnie the Pooh, who helps him to rediscover the joys of life. That's accurate. However, his rediscovery of the joys of life probably happened in the last 20 minutes of this movie.
Okay.
The entire rest of the time, Christopher Robin is an insufferable prick to Winnie the Pooh, to the point where it's so foreign to me, it's so different than what Winnie the Pooh is supposed to be, that I'm just like, why can't you just like be a little nice to Pooh? And Pooh is extra like, I don't know. Pooh is acting like he's got like dementia, like he just doesn't know where he is.
Okay.
Like he doesn't have a grasp on the real world.
So we got Alzheimer's Pooh.
It really feels that way.
Trashed by fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
Okay.
Now, all the other characters are there, but initially Pooh is the only one who comes out to the real world to try to find Christopher Robin because something happens and he's the only one he can think of that could possibly know how to fix it. And all his friends have gone missing. And he's like, well, that's not good. And they think it's a heffalump, of course.
Sure.
And he finds Christopher Robin. He's like, I'm too old for this shit. He's all Danny Glover. But he's just flat out mean to Pooh. Constantly mean to Pooh to the point where I'm like, fuck this movie. I was getting mad watching this movie.
Okay.
And partially it's because Ewan McGregor's so good at being a dick to something that's in reality not there. He's just yelling at, oh, it's so
that
sad.
Tennis ball. That poor tennis ball.
That poor tennis ball will never serve again.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
How do you feel about the movie Hook with Robin Williams?
Love Hook.
Love Hook?
Love Hook.
Okay. I was just curious about the parallels there between them, like, because Robin Williams is kind of a douchebag in Hook.
And I feel that way, too. But I think he kind of starts to get it. You see him slowly metamorphose into what he will be.
Yeah, because immediately his instinct is to be a good father.
And plus, that's part of the plot where this is like, it should just be like a tone, not the plot.
Right.
Like, he's a dick way too long in this movie.
Sure.
Haley Atwell's pretty good, but like, it's just so depressing. Like, I watch this with my wife, because I'm like, oh, Winnie the Pooh, that's cool, let's just watch this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is he, I literally turned to her like, why is he such a dick to Pooh?
Yeah.
I'm like, this movie's over like an hour already, why is he still like, you know, fuck you, Pooh? Like, God. Now, as far as comedy, one character is your comic relief. It's fucking Eeyore.
I was going to say, it's either Eeyore or Tigger.
Your sad, depressed, kind of a donkey should not be your comic relief when every other character in this universe is on the screen.
When he's the most humorous thing going on.
Yes. Tigger is not funny.
That's a shame.
All the other ones are not that funny.
That's a shame.
They might have a line or two.
Yeah. But is the gopher in it?
I think he briefly was.
I love the gopher.
Yes.
Because he whistles all his asses. Yes. Yes.
But Eeyore is your, he has the most, I'm like, why does Eeyore have the most lines out of the critters? And they're only, oh, it's just, I'm sorry. Just don't.
Oh, bother.
I guess this is just the score it needs to get.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with everything else here.
Okay.
I don't agree with IMDb. I don't agree with Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
IMDb gave it a 7.3.
Okay.
Which blows my mind compared to other scores they've given beloved movies. Rotten Tomatoes, 72% out of 257.
And those are alarmingly close together.
They are. The audience gave it 83%.
Oh, jeez.
Out of 5,000 some odd people. I just don't... I'm like, what did you watch? Like, did you get confused and watch a different Pooh movie? I gave it a 5. I was so damn depressed after watching this.
Yeah.
I turned into Eeyore.
And it wasn't uplifting enough at the end to save it, huh?
No.
It's a shame.
My wife could have been like, you want to like do something fun? I'd be like, no.
You could have been getting a blowjob mid-movie and been upset.
I wouldn't have been able to perform.
Just move your head out of there.
No. Come on. I'm a married man. I would never, just keep going.
It might happen eventually.
I'm not brave enough to keep that joke going.
Hi, Tim's wife. So, perhaps I'll dig us out of this hole of... No, I won't, because this is a depressing-ass movie, but it's a good-ass movie I like a lot.
All right, a good movie.
It is the Not Disney Frozen.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. So when I saw that on your list, I'm like, I mean, it could be the Disney one, but I was like, I think it's that other movie with the ski lift.
Correct. This is that ski lift movie. It came out in 2010. I watched it, sure, at some point. Probably second quarter, maybe end of first quarter. Who knows? 1 hour and 33 minutes long is this movie, and it is a thriller? Mm-hmm. It's depressing as fuck. It's directed by one of my favorites, Adam Green.
Okay.
It stars Kevin Zegers, who you might know from the fucking Air Bud movies.
What?
Yeah.
He was the dog.
Emma Bell, she was not. And Sean Ashmore, the Ashmore. The Iceman.
Ashmore.
Iceman.
Butts inside butts.
Yep. The movie summary. Three kids get trapped on a ski lift.
Simple.
Yep. They get trapped there. This movie is super tense.
I'd imagine.
It is really hard to watch at times. It is just sad. You're literally watching three people die on a ski lift.
Wow.
Like, they're, like, freezing to death. There is, I'll walk you through. If you've never seen the movie, I mean, I'll describe kind of what happens through the whole thing. They want to take one more trip down the hill, and it's Kevin Zegers and Emma Bell are boyfriend and girlfriend. Sean Ashmore is Kevin Zegers' best buddy. So he's kind of doing the friend test to see if this girl's worth kind of, is she worth keeping as a girlfriend? Let's see how they kind of, if she doesn't jive with my best friend, maybe not. So they're on, they pay, like, kind of pay off the dude to get him on the ski lift one more time. And the guy has to go take a leak. The other guy watches and he's like, oh, okay, all the lifts are clear. And he shuts down the lifts. And so they're stuck like 60, 80 feet from the ground up on the ski lift. And the movie, they actually shot in Utah at a ski lift, and they shot it up on a ski lift.
Oh,
like,
wow.
They didn't fuck around. There's some close-up stuff they did on the ground, but for the most part, all the shots are Adam Green, the director, and his cameraman, Will Barrett, up in a modified, like, ski lift chair lift that they put in front of this other one so that they can get the shots they need.
Wow.
So it's two dudes 80 feet in the air on this, like, kind of rigged up version of a chairlift.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Testicular fortitude that I do not have.
Whew.
And, like, literally they had to ride up. At the end of the night, they had to ride back down on this chairlift.
Wouldn't that be terrifying enough with the principle of this movie?
Yep. And, like, you watch Kevin Zegers is like, I'm going to try to get us help. And so he jumps off the ski lift. He breaks his legs. And, you know, cause at that point, the ground is, it's snow down there, but it's frozen solid because you're talking sub-zero temperature. So it's just dropping onto basically ice.
Yeah.
And his legs break, and it is hard to watch his legs break.
No.
And there's blood all over the ice and the woods, and there are wolves.
Oh, no.
And you have to, it's a horrible scene because he gets eaten by the wolves.
Right.
But as he's, like, about to get eaten by the wolves, he makes Sean Ashmore cover Emma Bell's eyes so that she can't watch him get eaten by wolves. And so you watch her listen to him get eaten by wolves.
Oh, no.
It's fucking gut-wrenching.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. People's hands get froze. Like, dumb and, it's not like funny Dumb and Dumber or Christmas Story froze. Like, they, like, their skin tears off.
Oh, my God.
Frostbite starts to set in. It is hard to watch. But it's really well shot. It makes you moan the entire time. You're just like, this would be fucking awful. I watched this. Adam did like a special live commentary that you could jump on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
And he did like we could ask him questions while the movie was playing and shit. It was really fun. There was like, I think like 15 or 20 people that got to do this.
That's awesome.
And so I got in on that and watched it through with the live commentary going.
That's so cool.
It was a lot of fun. And this is probably like the seventh or eighth time I've seen this movie. I think it's his best movie by far. He's done the Hatchet movies. If you're into horror, schlocky horror, he's done the Hatchet movies and some other stuff that's pretty good. But I think this is the top of the heap for him. IMDb gives it a 6.1 out of 10, which I think is meh. Critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, 94 critics gave it a 63.
Okay.
Audience gave it a 46%. Because
I think people just can't do it.
I think it's also people just going, that's a stupid idea. They're stuck on a chair. That wouldn't happen.
And one guy thought it was the Disney one.
Yeah.
His poor girl watched it.
My score is quite different in that I gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
Interesting.
I really dig this movie. And if you like tense, tough to watch movies, this is a really good one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let It Go.
Yeah. That's right, Elsa.
Now that movie I've seen 1,000 times.
You know what? I've never seen it all the way through.
No?
Nope.
It's fine. It's fine. It loses its charm after you've seen it 600 times.
That's right, Olaf. It's no Jack Frost.
I'm more of a Hans guy myself. So, next up, we have Jim. 2001's...
A Space Odyssey?
No.
Oh.
God, I wish it was. Jesus Christ, Vampire Hunter.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I'm continuing my bad movie hunt.
You sure are.
April 19th,
You watched Manborg. You got to the pinnacle.
I got to the pinnacle, and I was like, I should have stopped.
Yeah, you really pulled the straight up, you know.
There's another movie written by
Icarus.
Thank you. Yes. I'm very much flying too high on this.
Yeah.
There's another movie by the guy who wrote Manborg, and I'm just like, I'm saving it, because I'm like, it's probably better than all
you
these other ones.
Your darkest time.
Here we are. This is 1 hour, 25 minutes that you will not get back. Action? No. Comedy? No. Horror? No.
In focus?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Directed by Lee De Marbre, I'm going to
say.
Starring Phil Karakis, Muriel Varhaley.
I like that instead of starring, it's just including.
Including these schlubs.
Yeah.
Maria Moulton. The description of it from IMDb is kung fu action comedy horror musical about the second coming. That's the whole description.
Mm-hmm.
Just awful. So this movie even has a luchador in it, and I'm like, no.
You know what's funny? I've seen this movie.
Have you?
I believe Dan owned it, may still own it on DVD.
Okay. So, yep.
I have seen this movie.
So you know.
Yep.
My pain.
I know this movie.
When a movie has a luchador in it as a main character, and I still can't.
Have you seen Low Life?
No.
Oh, baby.
Luchadors?
Main character.
All right, then.
It is, and it's way up your alley.
Okay, then.
Imagine a Quentin Tarantino movie with a main character as a luchador.
Okay.
Low Life.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, it's good.
That's on my to-do list, then. So my first bullet point is fuck this movie.
Okay.
The guy who plays Jesus looks like Jesus for all of 3 minutes of the movie.
Yep.
Then he gets a haircut, and it's bad.
Yep.
Bad jokes about lesbians and fat asses, and just, it's a product of its time.
Yes.
I guess.
It's very, like, wanting to be a trauma movie.
It is, but, like, failing.
Yep.
Every step of the way. There's some scenes, like fight scenes, where Jesus will punch a guy in a park and he'll go flying backwards, and it's like stop motion movement of the guy.
Yep.
It's so low budget, so bad. This is like, this movie had better locations than the Commando Shark, and I would watch the Commando Shark on every day.
Sure.
Before I watch this. So this isn't good, and it sounds like something that would be up my alley, because it's like, oh, religion, ha ha ha, and like, you know, there's a luchador and bar fights and
it's the concept of the movie isn't horrible.
No, but the execution
is
so bad.
Yeah. It's like they embrace how big, like, it's one thing if you're like, this is a low budget movie, I have to kind of just rock it, but it's almost like they love how, like, crappy it is.
Yeah, there's fight scene in a junkyard that doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
There's just so much of it I hated.
Agreed.
I considered turning this off.
Whoa. Which first time I think I've heard that.
It is the only time so far where this has happened.
Okay.
IMDb, like, I'm depressed just divvying. This and Christopher Robin ending up on the same one for me is just awful.
A rough run.
And then you had a rough one. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
God, this episode, rough ones.
The dry heaves.
IMDb score, 5.1. I don't understand that at all. Rotten Tomatoes critic score. This is 10 critics, 80%.
Okay. 10 people.
Doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Audience score, 59%.
Wow.
8,000 some odd people. This is the movie.
This is it, huh?
This is the movie where I said I couldn't go lower than a 1.
Yep.
This movie gets a 0 from me.
Shit.
I wish I never fucking watched it.
Yeah. I don't think Tim's too far off base. I'd probably give it somewhere in the realm of a 3.
Mm-mm. No.
I mean, I don't know who exactly would enjoy it. I mean, maybe Dan will chime in at a point, because I think he did like it.
Fuck you, Dan.
Yeah, so maybe he can tell us what he liked about it. I mean, I didn't hate it as much as Tim did. But I watched it with bunch of dudes, so it was at least...
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's all things that should be good.
Mm-hmm.
Should be... Did they describe my whole entire alley?
Mm-hmm.
Kung fu, action, comedy, horror, musicals, fine to be with those?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was so fucking angry.
Right.
It took me 2 days to watch this because I couldn't just
make it through. And I mean, that's the difference, right? Is you're talking about a movie where it's like a bad movie can exist.
Yeah.
And this is the same problem I have with Return of the or Revenge of the Creature is it sucks. I had expectations. Like, it was a fucking letdown. It wasn't just a bad movie. It was a fucking letdown.
Yep. So yeah, I can go lower than a 1 now because I had to.
Yeah.
For this piece of shit. Don't
actual fucking 0.
0. 0. Hold the Dark sounds so good right now.
Yeah, seriously. Mm. Get fucked, Jesus.
Damn. There's a soundbite.